Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We want to thank everybody for meeting us again here tonight at the well. This is going to be a wonderful time in the Lord because the Holy Ghost, we're going to let the Lord have his way. We come for no other reason but to lift up the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So before we get started, I would like to ask Dr. Hunter, I'd like to ask you to pray for us because
okay.
We need prayer.
Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts for the many things that he has done for us this day. And Father, we just declare and decree your word to be true and sure. And we just ask you, Father, to look upon us in the most particular way that you look at your son. And we just ask you continuously to bless us and keep us. Any sins we have committed, known or unknown, we ask you to bless the blood of Jesus, blot it out. Because we ask you, Father, we want to walk according to your word and not our word. We want to thank you for everything you have done for us. And we just believe today is the day that you call us at this time to do the greater work. I want to thank you for everything you've done for Dr. DeLores. I want to thank you for keeping up, for holding up, and showing her the way, let her being steadfast, unmovable, but seeing what Jesus said. And then, Father, while we walk in the place called there you will meet us, there you will show us. And all the things that we can, we want to do your will, not our will. But we just come to say, ask you and thank you for everything. And I pray this day, this evening, Father, that you will bless us at the well, for meet us at the well. If we need to get baptized, meet us at the well. We need to get saved, meet us at the well. We need to raise the dead, meet us at the well. Whatever we need this hour, in the name of Jesus, meet us at the well. Your well, Holy Father, the well of righteousness, the well of love, a well that's so deep, we don't even want to dent to the height of it, but it's your well. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you for that prayer because you know what the Bible says, one can put a thousand to flight. So we're putting things right tonight, amen? So we're just pray to stop for that prayer because we have to come in agreement with each other, amen? And I agree with the word tonight, the prayer that has been prayed, amen? So I agree with
amen.
That. So God's will is done, amen?
Amen.
So I want to talk about tonight, the Lord pouring us out a blessing that we won't know how to receive, amen?
Amen.
God does pour our blessings on a daily basis. We just have to know how to receive them. Amen?
Right.
So, and I know a lot of times people read Malachi 3:8-10, and we want God to open the windows of heaven for us and pour us out a blessing. Of course we do. Not just for us, but our family and our friends and others. We want God to pour out those kind of blessings. You know, and men and women of God want others to be blessed. We're not selfish. We want others to be blessed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? And so God will pour out a blessing. Yes, he will. Let me show you how. When we think of the blessings, we think of money and material things. But there are more important things in life than money. Because if God blessed us with just money and we got sick or our children got sick or we got on drugs, whatever, money wouldn't do us any good. So first
Amen.
Of all, we want to ask God to pour us out a blessing that's eternal. Huh? We want an eternal
Amen.
Blessing, something that will last forever. We want God to bless us spiritually, first of all. We want him to give us knowledge so we'll know how to use what he blessed us with. We want to know how to use it. We want to be able to use what God blessed us with so we won't be going back and forth saying, Lord, now I need you to hand me out some more money. I need you to hand me out. Lord, I wasted. Lord, forgive me. You done blessed me several times, and I threw that away, but I'm back again. So we want to use wisdom. We want to use God's wisdom, and God blesses us in more ways than one. God does suddenly. Will you recognize him when he does that? Will you recognize God when you do a suddenly? See, some people are not in tune. You got to keep your spirit in tune so you can recognize when he's speaking to you. Because he calls us by name. Amen? He calls
Amen.
By name. So you want to be able to recognize him. When he touch you, when you hear him, when you see him, when you touch, you want to be able to recognize God. Or see what God is saying to us tonight. Because it's so awesome. awesome when we get into God's word, because God says when you speak his word, he perform them. He'll answer.
He perform them.
He perform them. Amen. So,
amen.
So Lord, he said, amen. He said, but now, oh, Jacob, I'm reading in Isaiah 43. I've got the application Bible. I hope that you all don't mind me going there. He said,
go ahead.
But now, oh, Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. Man, that is awesome just to know that. He said, I've redeemed you. I paid a price for you. This is what he's saying to us. He paid a price for us. He redeemed
a price.
A price. He paid a price. By the shedding of his blood, he paid a price for us. He said, I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. Isn't that something that we know that we are here, we belong to him, who believe and choose him as their savior? That's awesome to know that we are his. I can call him my God. I can call him my father because he is.
Yes.
Amen? He said, when you go, man, he loves us so much. He loves us so much. Listen to him. He said, when you go through deep water, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Now, I know that all of us, or many of us, have gone through some trials, some tribulations, some deep things. And if you look out at the world now, you see people. That's why it's so important to read God's word and let him be your savior. If you haven't, ask him, I'm telling you. Because so many things are going on. You see the killings at the theaters and people just doing things. That's because they have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Because he will protect you. He will feed you. He shall supply all your needs.
According
to Christ Jesus. He said he'll do that for you if you accept him as your Savior, if we would just accept him. And when we going through those difficult times, guess what? They won't overtake us. They won't drown us. It might get a little deep, but they won't overtake us. And I know we all have a testimony, and I know many have heard Dr. Hunter's testimony. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because of your Savior. It couldn't overtake me because of my Savior. Because we accepted him. We believe in him. We talk to him. We commune with him on a daily basis. So guess what? They can't overtake us. Amen? So we want to praise him. We want to wake up and praise him. We want to go to bed praising. We want to pray constantly and daily. Get some friends that want to praise him. Amen? Lift him up as high as we can. Amen? So we want
Amen.
To because those things that come against us, whether it's at home, on the job, in the streets, wherever we are, it won't overtake us, says the Lord. That's what he said for us. It will not overtake us. He said, when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. He's already telling us these things, they won't even consume us. But the ones that don't have a Savior, that has not accepted him, and that's why people, they said, oh, well, they was oppressed, and they went out and they did these things, and they did, because they need a Savior. I'm just asking people, make him your Lord and Savior. Make him your Lord and Savior. Because I'm telling you, these things will not overtake you. We'll have some trials. We'll have some tribulations. He's already told us that. But his word says they won't overtake us. These things won't overtake us. We're human. We're going to go through some things. Your children are going to go through some things. And they will not overtake them. You know why? Because you're going to stay on your knees. Those who know him, those who know the Lord, those who pray to him, those who commune with him, have a conversation with him, those who love him and believe in him, guess what? You're going to stay on your knees because you refuse to let that happen to your children without praying or without or your family. Whatever, we're going to stay in prayer, amen? And then guess what? We're going to come to him in spirit and in truth because we're sincere. We're sincere. So he said, these things will not overtake us. They won't burn us up.
Amen.
But we give God the glory for that. We thank him. We praise his name because he's an awesome God to us.
He is indeed.
Yes, he is.
Awesome.
He said, God, yes, He's an awesome God. We can't thank him enough. We can't praise him enough. Amen? He said, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That is, he's our Savior. He's our Savior. We have accepted him. He's our Savior. And those of us who believe and trust in him have that confidence that he will protect us, that he's our Savior. None of these things won't consume us. We know we might go through them, but they won't consume us. He said, I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. Wow.
Look at this.
I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom, for our freedom. I mean, you know what I'm saying? For our freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. He gave them in
your
place.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus. He said,
Hallelujah.
Others are given in exchange. Others are given in exchange for you. I traded their life for your simple kind of God we serve. He traded their life for ours. Look at this God that we love, that love us so much.
My God.
He traded their lives for ours. Because you are precious to me, he says. We are precious to him. Amen? We are precious.
Amen.
People can look at us all they want to. They can say whatever they want to and say, we just don't look right. We just don't look like what they want it to look like. But the Bible said, don't look at the outer appearance, because that's not all to it.
That's not all to it.
He said, we are precious in his sight. We're precious to him. You are honored, he says, and I love you. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. When people are depressed, poor and struggling in areas, all we have to do is call out his name. Get down on our knees. Wherever we are, all we got to do is just let him know, here we are, we're bringing this to you, Lord, because we trust you, we believe in you. It's just like a parent who have children. You know, there are some parents who really love their children and want to see them successful. Now, we know that there's parents who just have children. Huh?
Amen.
And I just like to tell the truth. It's just people that have children.
Yes.
But there are some that love their children. They're going to make sure that they have the best. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about they raising them up in the way they should go so they can have success. And so they can have respect for themselves and their family and their friends so they can honor God. Amen.
Amen.
So we have those kind of parents. And when we have those kind of parents, the children know that I can trust my mama, I can trust my dad, I can trust my parents. They love me. They love me enough that they won't slack off the discipline if I get out of order. That's how much they love me, because they're going to teach me and train me. Amen? So that's how our Father is. When we go to him, he's concerned about us. The love that he has for us can't compare to human love. It just can't compare. So he said, you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. He said, do not be afraid, for I am with you. This is what he's telling us. He's with us. He's with us. Those who believe and trust in him, he's with us. Then watch this. Watch this now. He said, I will gather you and your children from east and west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and my daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. God will call them back.
Ooh, yes, hallelujah. Yes,
we will. Hallelujah. And they will have to come. God will call them back, because he said he has not lost one that the Father gave him. He will call them back. He'll call them back from distant places, from distant corners of the earth. God will call them back. And that's why it's so important that we as a people stay on our knees and begin to pray for the young people, because the Bible says they're wiser but weaker. Wiser but weaker. So God is steady pouring us out blessings. And it may not look like it to the average person, to the carnal-minded people, because they're looking for us to have this mansion. They're looking for us to drive this ton of cars. They're looking for us to have this and that and all of that. But God is pouring out blessings upon us because he's pouring them out upon our children, upon our family. They're alive, they're well. Even whatever they have to go through, they're still alive. They're well. God is blessing them daily, raising them up. So we can thank God for that. We got to thank him for those
Amen.
Things. We
got
to thank God for those things. Praise the Lord. So that's why
My
I said, Lord, I go back and I read Malachi 3:8-10, but I said, Lord, if you give me something that I don't know how to use, I'm going to waste it. Because I'm not going to know what to do. But first of all, bless me with the spiritual blessing. Bless me with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Bless me with patience, dear Lord God. Bless me with the
Amen.
Kind of love where when I go out to the people, money won't, it has nothing to do with money, but it has something to do with the light and the love that I have. Where they can say, anybody can say, I want some more money. But do you want some more love?
Yes.
Do you want some more patience?
Mama.
Do we want that? Do we want kindness? Do we want that gentleness? Do we want to be meek? Do we want those things? Give me those things as well. See, a lot of times we don't ask God for those things, but we want those
Amen.
Things. God will pour them out on you. He will pour them out. I want abundance of his love so I can know how to love the people. I want abundance.
Say it.
I want abundance. Amen. I want abundance because it's plenty have money, but guess what? They're so arrogant, so proud, treat you like this. The rich is, some of them that's rich, they're greedy, and that's the greedier. Everything is
so
expensive. You can't buy a pair of shoes because guess what? No love. There's no love in the place. There's no kind. People have become selfish, which the Bible tells. They have become selfish. So what does money have to do with it? Because you got all this money, but you don't have any love in your heart. You're not kind. You're not gentle. So I'm saying, Lord, pour them out love, kind, and gentleness. Because they have some of them have money, but they're not kind. They're not kind. So we got to ask the Lord for important things, for eternal things. We want eternal things. Because money,
yes.
We can't take that with us. Only what we do for Christ will last.
Will last, that's it. My God.
Amen. The Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there's no law. Let's ask for those things because we need that along with the money. We need that because if we don't have any love, we don't have peace, we don't have joy, money doesn't feel good. You can have money go kill up a whole bunch of people. So what's good for money do with you? Huh? You want to have the peace of God. You want to have the love of God. You want to have the joy. So if you have a whole lot of, if he pulled out the abundance on you, Malachi 3:8-10, if he pulled that out on you and you don't have no joy, no peace, money's not going to be any good. Because when you leave, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So we need the love of God. That love of God. That's what we need. So when we get that love from God.
From God.
Then we can go forth. But without the love, there is nothing without God's love. And I know a lot of us have experienced a lot of things. We have gone through the rivers. We have gone through the seas. It became a sea. We've gone through these things, on the job, off the job, different places. But we survived to tell the story because we are witnesses for Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
We're witnesses. And that's why I love God's testimony, because you know what? Everything that we're going through is God's testimony of what he has done, what he will do. Well, we can tell someone else about it. We can tell somebody else what God has done for us. We can tell them. It didn't overtake us. We can tell them that. We can tell others what happened to us didn't overtake us. We're still here. We're still walking around. We're still doing God's will. Amen? We're still doing God's will. So we can tell others about him. We're witnesses. And I'm sure that some can say that when they were without money, God was there. When they was without food, God was there.
Yes,
when they without clothing, God was there. In the middle of the night, when things were going through, God was there. When your children was acting up, God was there. I mean, we can go on and on and on. We can
go on and on and on and on.
God has always been there for me. Always. He's never left me, never forsaken me. Never left me, never forsaken me. We can say that.
We
can say that about God.
Yes.
We can say that about him.
And then
we can go on, because like I said, we are witnesses for the Lord. We are witnesses for him. He's our God. He's our Savior. And we can witness for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why I love God's testimony, because God is so good to us. He's never,
so,
never forsaken.
Amen. So merciful. Amen.
Amen. He is so merciful.
So merciful.
And what God has done for us is more than a blessing. Because some of us have experienced these such things. This is more than a blessing, because he did not allow us to be consumed. That's what his word said. He said, I won't let you be consumed. He said, I won't let you be consumed. And that's why we should ask God, Lord, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, is jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. Isn't that something?
Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it.
That's something. Look at that. Love he has for us. Many waters cannot quench his love, nor can rivers drown it. The love that he has for us. It can't put it out. It can't drown the love that God has for us. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to stay in tune with the Lord. That's why we need him. Because when these things come up on us, our family, our friend, and people we know and don't, we are witnesses. We are salt in this earth. And we can let them know. If you let him, allow him to be your Savior, the love that he has for you, many waters cannot quench that love, and no river can drown it.
My God, preach it.
Thank you, Jesus. We won't be consumed. We won't be consumed when we trust him, when we believe in him. We won't be consumed when these things come. If you have not done through something, you will, and you will need a Savior. You don't have to go and take your life, somebody else's life, your family's life. You can call upon the name of Jesus. Amen? You can call on his name. Because when you're sincere, he's going to answer.
He said,
you come to me and no wise will I cast you away. He said, I created you. Wasn't your mom and dad, I hate to tell you. It wasn't just him alone. It was him who created us. Amen? It was him.
Amen.
So we can give God praise for what he's already done. We need to give him praise for what he's already done. We We need to praise him. We can't praise him enough. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
My
thank
God.
You right now for what you have done for us and what you're about to do. God is about to do great things for believers. He's about to do that for believers. And I'm not talking about material things, because God will take you so deep in the Word. He'll take you to another level in his Word where you see things that others can't see. You can't even talk about it because, well, nobody understands you. They won't understand you. They won't even understand what you're talking about. And let me tell you something. I know because I tried it. And I said something. And God said, you can't share that. Don't try to share this with. And I said, Lord, thank you for that, because I didn't, you know. You try, and because you think they have a listening ear. You got to have a listening ear to hear God. You got to be teachable. You got to have a listening ear. Because if you don't have a listening ear, guess what? You won't hear him anyway. Even when he sends somebody. When he sent a messenger, you won't hear him. You will not hear him.
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
You won't hear him. So that's why we have to get in tune. We need a Savior. We need him. We need him as our Savior.
Yes.
So when we go through the water and through the fire, one thing about it, it won't consume us. Two things can happen. It either make you stronger or it'll drown you or consume you. Amen? But when you have a Savior, and you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it won't consume you. This is what he said. It will not overtake you. It will not overtake you. He won't allow it to overtake you. He won't do it. He won't do it. Go back and read about Job. It won't overtake you because he won't allow it. Our Father will protect us. He will protect you. When you accept him and believe in him as your Lord and Savior, it won't overtake you.
It won't overtake you.
When you go through the water or when you go through the fire, like I said, two things can happen. If you have him as your Savior, it can overtake you. If you go on your own strength, you might drown. So take the Lord as your protector and your Savior.
Yeah. Yes.
He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, our Savior.
Our
gave
Savior.
Egypt for a ransom for you, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since I was precious in my sight. We are precious in his sight. He gave a ransom for us. He paid a price for us because we're precious in his sight.
We're precious in his sight.
This is what he's telling us. We are precious in his sight. And he gave a ransom for us. He paid a price for us. That is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He
awesome
said, I will say to the north, yes, he's an awesome God. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. You see, he created us for his glory. We ought to be shining. We ought to be lifting up his name. Amen? I have found him. Yeah, I've made him. So we can't praise him enough. This is how the Lord is speaking about his sons and daughters. Isn't that something? When your father speak about you, your parents say, oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. It makes you feel good. When they start saying, that's my son, this is how the Lord is speaking about his son and his daughter. This is more than abundance. This is more than a blessing, because we want our children healed, delivered, and set free. We don't want them in bondage. So when God is doing that for us, that's more than a blessing. That's more than Malachi. Because we can't take that with us. But we can take this eternal blessing that God has bestowed upon us, our sons and our daughters. We can take that with us.
Amen.
Only what we do for Christ will last. Those things us will be here. But that eternity, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for considering
us.
for considering us, just considering us, knowing that we're human.
Yeah.
This is how his sons and daughters. His sons and daughters. That's what he said. He said, my sons and my daughters. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His sons.
Hey.
Abundance. Just to be called by his name. Just for him to recognize us. We're nothing worse than filthy rags. But he said, my sons and my daughters, we're blessed. That's more than abundance. No, he considering us. That he is considering us. The Lord is calling
my
his sons and his daughters. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank
and nobody
you,
else called your name. And he's calling it. That is more than abundance. That is more than abundance. Would you answer? Would you acknowledge him as your God? I do.
Yes.
Do you? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because he's given attention to us. He's caring for us as a loving father would. This is a loving father.
Yes.
This is a loving father.
Yes.
He said he's a loving father. Many waters cannot quench his love. Nor can rivers drown it. Amen.
Marvel.
The river can't drown the love that he has for us. He can't drown it.
My God.
Can't quench that love.
Oh,
he can't quench it.
Right.
This is what the Lord is saying about his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord.
We're honored
to say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. That's why we need to come together in unity and begin to just praise God and thank him for what he's doing, what he has done, and what he's about to do for his sons and his daughters. Amen?
Amen.
For his sons and daughters. That's what he said. He said his sons and daughters. That's what the Lord is saying.
Yes.
His sons and his daughters. That's a blessing. Truly a blessing. I can't thank him enough.
Yes.
I can't thank him enough.
Ooh, glory, hallelujah. No
glory like I was him enough. He said love. The love that God has for us is unspeakable. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Lord is blessing us. Amen. He's blessing us constantly and daily. He's showering us with his love every moment we sleep, when we awake. Can we accept all of that love that he's pouring out on us? Can we accept that? Can we accept that kind of love? Can we keep the ordinances? Can we keep the commandments? Can we accept this kind of love that he's pouring out? You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Huh?
My
and here it is. The love that cannot be quenched, that cannot be drowned.
Cannot be.
This is the kind of love that is. That's the love we need to be seeking. Our first love. This love that he has is unspeakable. Praise the Lord. It's unspeakable.
Just
for a moment and see how God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now that's some love. His only begotten son. He loved us that much that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's what we're looking for right there. Everlasting life. I'm not looking for Malachi 3:18 because he's going to give me that. And he said, if I seek ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
He said, seek me first. And everything else will be added. So you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Because God is pouring out abundance on us. This love that he has. It's an abundance. It's an abundance of love. He said in his word, he said the waters cannot quench this love, and nor can the rivers drown it. Boy, that's some love there. That's abundance. That's more. That's love. I mean, I just can't. It's abundance. It's more than Malachi 3:8-10. It's abundance of love. It's on a daily basis. And he don't change his mind and say, I love you today and then tomorrow. No. He don't change his mind.
My God.
The rivers can't drown that. Can't put it out. can't put it out. That's the kind of love he has for us. And he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's love. Now that's love. That is true
that
love.
Is love.
Truly love.
Amen. Amen.
He said, many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all of his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. Huh? It would be rejected. It would be rejected.
Hey.
You can't buy it. You can't buy it.
My God.
That's why we need him as our Savior. That's why we need to call up on his name. That's why we need to praise him. That's why we need to praise him. Are you considering this love at all, his benefits that he has bestowed upon us? Are you considering him? Consider that. To God, he'll talk to you.
Jesus.
Things that we surely need. We surely need his love, his protection, his guidance. With his love come everything else. With his love. A God that has given his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the thing that we surely need, his love. These things are everlasting. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these, he said, is love. He knows, because he the one passing it out. So when you're looking for love, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus when you're looking for love.
Look to Jesus.
You'll be looking in the right place.
Amen.
He has an abundance. He has an abundance.
An abundance.
He has an abundance. Amen. Let love be our highest goal. Let that be our highest goal. Because some of us don't know how to love. And I'll say this. I didn't know how. Because when I was brought up, not knowing that people were so evil and hateful and so, and that's now it's just spread out. And I didn't know that. And when I came in contact with, I'm like, good God, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
It was stunning to me. It was stunning. So we gotta get back to, and then I started building up this, it wasn't a hatred but a dislike for people's ways. And we're supposed to hate evil and love good. But then I found myself going a little bit further. I was disliking the people, not just what they did, but I was disliking them. I was looking, I couldn't stand them because they did evil things, and it made me mad. And I was going too far. I had to come back. I had to go get. No, wait a minute. This is not who you want me to be.
My God.
We have to call this thing out. That's why I say abundance. He has more than just money to give. He wants you to have his love. Because without love, nothing else does any good.
My God.
And so when I began to hate evil and the people that did evil, I began to hate to be, I said, wait a minute. Come back now. You're going a little too far. Got to talk to God now. I got to talk to him. Because the love that he has cannot be drowned. So that's the kind of, I began to ask, Lord, I said, Lord, fill me with love. Fill me with what you want me to have. Fill me with love. Fill me with kindness. So I know how to treat the people. Fill me with these things. Because like I said, you can have money. You can have everything in this world. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything.
So we need to let love
be our highest goal. We need to let love be our highest goal.
Amen.
So God is pouring out blessings upon us every day. Every day.
Everything.
Those who trust and believe in him, he is pouring out blessings on us every day. He's pouring out abundance. But let me say this. Will you know it when you hear it? When you see it? When he pour it out on you, will you know it? If it's a suddenly, will you know it?
Yes.
Some people won't know it because they're looking for something else. They never know.
I know.
So you miss it. So pay attention to God because he's paying attention to us. And don't get me wrong. We need other things. And everyone wants money. I want some. But if you don't get, I need the love and the kindness. I need all of this to go with it. I don't want just the money. I want what he had, what the other benefits. I want the abundance of love in my heart. You know, because we can buy more things, but we can't buy love. The Bible said we can't buy love. He said, if any man try to buy love, it would be utterly rejected. You can't buy it. Even if you were a billionaire, you couldn't go out and buy your love. You couldn't buy it.
My God.
You couldn't buy it.
Lord Jesus.
You could have abundance of money. You could be rich, but you can't buy love.
Can't buy love.
You cannot buy it. So that's why we have to ask God. God is pouring out abundance on us on a daily basis because he said, I will give you your daily bread.
Our daily bread.
And that's what he's doing. He gives that to us, our daily bread. But will we recognize it? Will we know it? But we need more than money because we know money can buy things, probably this and that and other. But then again, we want the abundance of love. We want that abundance. He wants that abundance. I do. I want that abundance of love. I want him to fill my heart with it so I can love people more and do what God has called me to do. But I thank God. I hope someone has gotten something from the Word of God tonight. It was coming out of the book of Isaiah 43. And I just pray God that the Word went forth and somebody was able to get something from the Word of God. If not, go back over. It was Isaiah 43. Go back over and read it for yourself and see what the Lord is saying to you.
Amen.
And because
he
will reveal to you himself, the secret things belong to the Lord, and he will reveal to you what he wants you to know as he revealed to others who trust and believe in him. So all we got to do is trust and believe in the Lord, and the Lord will reveal things to you. He will reveal the things that he has for you to do for him, for the love that he has for you and all of us, because he has that abundance of love. He has that agape love, And so we just give God the glory. We thank God for that because it's him. And we want what God has, and that's love for one another. We got to love one another. And in order to get anything done in this earth, we have to come together in unity and proclaim the Word of God and allow him to be our Savior so we can go out and let his light shine and we can be witnesses and tell others about him. Amen? That's what we want to be able to do. So I just praise God tonight. And if anyone else has a word or something they would like to say, we would love to hear you because we're all learning. We're all learning and we're all here to share the Word of God. No one is is above anyone else, but we do speak what God has put place within our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to say tonight, I thank God for your coming back at the well on Friday night and the time you have spent with an eloquent time before the Lord. And out of the book of Isaiah, one of the most talked about books, because in those 66 chapters, we see culmination of God's creation, God's Son, and the Holy Spirit moving. And moreover, the more we look at the book, study the book, and anytime you've done something wrong, confess it before God. Don't hold this. Go before God and get it out of your craw as soon as possible. Because God is a forgiving God. God knows my weakness. God knows your weakness. God knows. But he wants us to acknowledge. Without me, you can do nothing, Willie, huh? I can't, Lord. I need you to help me. I need you to show me. And every day of my life, I'm coming, doctor. Every day of my life, I'm coming and bow before God. I'm no better than the next person. I'm no better.
Amen.
I just want to do what you want me to do. I'm not trying to fuss and fight somebody else like you was teaching. I just want to love the Lord with all my heart. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. Amen. So tonight we plug it back in until the next time. If you have nothing else to say, doctor, the Lord bless you and keep you. We'll meet you at the well next Friday night. God bless you.
God bless you also. Good night.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. Praise God. Put this tape on and keep on kicking. Praise God. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will read from verse 1 in talking about the gifts of the Spirit, studying the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we're going to discuss some of the mechanics of these gifts, what they actually are according to the Word, and the operations of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, before we move into these gifts, I want to make one notation here from verse 2. Let's notice something he said. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, or idols that cannot speak. Idols are worshiping things that have not the ability to speak or to minister to the people that worship it. Now, do you realize what category we automatically put the Holy Spirit in when we begin to say that these gifts are not for us today? We place him in the same category with the same dumb idols, the same idols that have not the ability to speak. If we are going to put the Holy Spirit in a category where these things are not for us today, then we placed him in the same place of the dead, dumb idols that the Apostle Paul said that these heathen people would worship. I don't believe we ought to do that, do you? I cannot bring myself to a place of placing the Holy Spirit in my consciousness in that kind of a place. I can't do it if I listen to Jesus, because he said when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll lead and guide you into all the truth, and whatsoever he hears, that shall he also speak. Praise God. So we're not worshiping a God that doesn't know how to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that has not the ability to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that, for some reason or other, has ceased to speak to his people. You know what actually happened? We stopped listening. Now, that's the problem. He's been speaking all the time. We stopped listening. There's no problem with the transmitter. It was the receiver that was out of tune. Now, if you go out here and get in your car, turn on your radio, and you don't get anything on the radio, do you run in and call the radio station and tell them, say, your station's not putting out? No, of course not. What's the first thing you do? First thing you do is tune the receiver. You know the station is putting out. The receiver is the one that's off. Well, that's the way we've been. Now then, let's dig into these gifts here a little bit. Starting with verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So we are going to be talking in some cases here about men speaking by the Spirit of God. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. The gifts are different. They're not all the same. There are times that they will work together. There are even times when they will work and be ministered all in the same motion. For instance, you can have the gift of faith, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. That thing can work all to a point where it looks like one ministration, one operation. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? All right, I'll tell you. The gift of faith begin to manifest itself in the person that's delivering this thing and thinking him about right there on the spot. And just as that began to move, the gift of faith receiving the miracle of the Lord and the discerning of spirits go into operation, and the man right then discerned the presence of an evil spirit operating in the person he's thinking that God's calling him to minister to. And then God, by the Holy Ghost, would speak on the inside of him and say, that spirit has been driving him to do such and such. That'd be a word of knowledge. And then God say, I want that spirit cast out because I'm calling this man into a work of my ministry. That'd be a word of wisdom. You see that? All working at one time, at one shot. And you just mind God and do what he said to do and begin to minister. The man get delivered, called, and everything else. All one motion, you see, that there's several gifts of the spirit operating at one time. Now, God may have something to say to the man after the deliverance is wrought and manifest in his life. There may be a word of prophecy come forth for that man. Why, you see, and while you got your hands on him, when the evil spirit left, God may manifest the gifts of healing and heal his body from whatever that evil spirit was operating. Well, for us to come along then, you see, and take our little yardstick and divide these things up and say, well, now that couldn't happen because this and all. Why, that goes to get foolish. Praise the Lord. These things are operating in order to make men free. And when we learn that there are different gifts, they are different. They're different in their nature. They're different in their operation. Actually, there are three different categories of gifts here. They're divided up in three different categories. The three of them each category. One of them is power. There's three of them here that are power gifts. They display. There are three of them that are revelation gifts, they reveal, and three of them are utterance gifts. They're spoken with the mouth. They come forth through the mouth. So you see, there are differences of gifts, but now that's not all there's differences in. There are differences in administration. There are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations. Now, what are you talking about here is simply this. The gifts are different. The ministries are different. And the operations are different. Now, we just talked about the differences in the gifts themselves. Let's talk about the difference of ministries. These gifts operate predominantly in people called into what we labeled as the fivefold ministry. They're ministering people. They operate predominantly in men that God has called into his ministry. Now, they don't operate entirely there. They're what you and I label as the laity. There's a lot of laymen that the gifts of the Spirit will manifest themselves through. There are men that are not called as apostles or prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, but they are called to the working of the miracle. There are some men that are set in the church as such. You'll find as you study the lives of different ministries and so forth, that there may be a ministry of helps, like a man in the deaconry of a church, or a man that's an elder in a church. Well, now you know good and well that the elders operate in the gifts of healings quite a bit, because the Bible says if you're sick, any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church and let them pray over the anointing of the law and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, so you can see faith going to operate in these men. But they do operate more predominantly. They are the tools of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. Because they are the things that God has put into his hands and into his life in order to do his job. Now, the Bible said that God gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles, prophets, see that that agrees right in the same line with what it says these gifts are for. Profit withal. See, for the edifying. The Bible says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So these tools would operate predominantly in the life of a man called into an office of ministry. But now he said there's differences in administration or differences in ministry. We can see that. You would know that a man called into the evangelistic office and a man called into the office of prophet would operate in a different manner. A man that's called into the office of evangelism predominantly is ministering to a different group of people than the man called into the office of prophet. Not that the prophet is not an evangelistic ministry. All of them are evangelistic in their nature. The whole body of Christ is evangelistic, but that office of evangelist, you will find operating in his life and ministry more predominantly than anything else the power gives. And you look at the life of Oral Roberts. The power gifts. What would that be? Gifts of healings, the gift of faith, see? Things that produce power, things that express power, the working of miracles in the life of most evangelists, men that are actually evangelists. Now, there's a lot of guys going around calling themselves evangelists, not evangelists at all. There are, you know, a lot of fellas just run around one church to the next looking for a way to make a living off Christians, and that's not evangelism at all. And actually, most of those men don't have anything working in their life. Some of them do some good, but actually don't. They just call themselves evangelists because that's the only thing they know how to call a man and not pastor in a church. Now, you know that situation exists, and so do I. And actually, some of these men are called to different ministries. But you see, most times, folks, if we don't get in line with what God has called us and go before God and find out what that calling is, and then begin to operate according to the New Testament by faith, then the gifts of the Spirit will have the opportunity to operate at the kind of proficiency that God has called us to, because you'd be out of the will of God. There may be some manifestation of it, maybe enough to let you know that God's trying to use you in that way, but not to the proficiency that a man's called. Now, most men have had a hard time receiving a call to a prophet's ministry, a call to an apostolic calling, or a call to anything other than pastor or evangelist or teacher. They won't even let you call yourself that. In most religious circles, you call yourself an apostle and everybody run off. Or call yourself a prophet and then they won't take you out and hang you from the light pole, you know, or something. I mean, that seems like that's a dirty word. But you're like men should be privileged to be called a prophet. Should be privileged to be called as an apostle. You know what that is? If we're going to stand up and call a man a prophet, then we're going to have to be obligated to what he says. Man, we won't be obligated to what anybody says. After all, we're paying the guy to do our spiritual work for us. And we don't want him talking. Now, we've cut off his salary. You know what I'm saying? Most missionary calls, it's strange how we've been able to just put it in reverse of what God called it. God put the apostolic calling right up on top of the list. We rubbed it out with our little imaginary razor. Get away with it. And put the same calling down on the bottom of the list and called it missionary. Put him on the bottom. Sure don't want the fellow to ever have anything. All missionaries have got to be poor. All missionaries have got to be about half hungry. They got to be in love with some kind of a foreign nation nobody can understand. And they got to be a doctor along with it or something else, because the word of God's not enough in those foreign lands. But it sure isn't if you're just going to try to make Presbyterians out of Africans. It won't work. You get a Presbyterian that don't know any more about the word of God than the other Presbyterian. Unborn again men make lousy believers. You follow what I'm saying to you?
There's not any reason in the world why a man shouldn't have his needs met right in the darkest middle of Africa or the top of a mountain somewhere in the Himalayas as he does on any country, any town in the United States. But you let some fella get on the foreign mission field and buy a new suit of clothes. Why cut off his support? That's an old bird living like that. God forgive us for some of that stuff, but we've done it, haven't we? And I was kind of amazed at something A. Allen said, and thank God he said it. He said, you know, you folks send $1 million a year to Africa to minister to the black man, and I minister to him in the United States, and you put me down for it. He's right. He was right in saying it. Praise God. Now, I brought all that up to say this. The differences in ministries have some differences in the tools that they use because of the atmosphere that that ministry is called to. Now, you know the prophet in the Old Testament was called a seer. Now, the reason he's called that is because he could see things. He knew things. He knew things that would have to do with the future plans of God. He knew things that would have to do with certain things around them that would affect their lives and ministries. Well, now, you know, if you would see then that the prophet operating with, you know, in the atmosphere he's called operating. In the first place, the prophet is not called to operate out in the midst of the world. He's called to operate amongst the people of God. He's not out there functioning around all of the heathen world. That's where the evangelist is functioning primarily, you see. Thank God God's got somebody to function everywhere if we just let him put his men in the right roles. But the prophet, you see, is in there giving the people insight into the already established Word of God. Now, the apostle, for instance, he is liable to go into a place where the Word of God's never been heard and establish the doctrines of Christ among the people. Get them born again. Now then, as this begins to move, you see, then God will raise up an evangelist right in the middle of those people, call him right out of those people, and he'll begin to move out from there and win people to the Lord and begin to preach the doctrines that the apostle of God came in and said, this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ said. And then God call a prophet in and begin to minister to these people and begin to give them additional insight into the Word of God that's already been brought forth. Man stood up there and preached, said, this is the basic fundamental doctrine of Christ. And then the prophet come along behind him and said, now let's expound on these basic fundamentals of Christ. We'll show you some things that God wants to reveal to you people now because you've grown during that. And here you have a pastor, see, that's operating here, and he is seeing to it that these things are carried out and operated in after these men are gone. Boy, it works. But each man, you see, is operating in a different atmosphere, a different set of conditions. Praise the Lord. So the prophet, naturally, you could understand that he's going to have most of these revelation gifts operating in his life. Now, we're going to see in these last days, in fact, we're seeing it now, men that are operating in more than one of these callings, and men that are operating, that have been promoted by God. I've been promoted by the Lord, and I've had one or two other ministries added to my ministry. Well, wait a minute. In fact, this happened to the Apostle Paul. We talked about it already. He was operating as a prophet and a teacher. The Bible said so. But down at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers at that church fasting and praying in the 13th chapter of Acts, ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And the next reference that the New Testament has to Barnabas and Saul, it says the apostles Barnabas and Saul. So you see, thank God, God promoted those men, didn't he? What about the deacon, Philip? Here's a man called into the deaconship of the church. He got out there and began to waited table, just like you're supposed to. And later on, the Bible says that they went down to the evangelist Philip's house and said it was the one that used to be the deacon. Glory to God. God promoted him from deacon to evangelist. Praise the Lord. Amen. Huh? Well, now, you know, he was operating in a certain amount of the power of this when he's operating as a deacon. He went down there and preached the scenario, praise God, and there's all kinds of Bible protests out there. When you see God calling the man into the office and going ahead and finishing him off and equipping him to operate in that office, great miracles and signs and wonders were done in their midst. But then, not on the other hand, how come when it comes to get folks filled with the Holy Ghost, well, how come he sent some other men down there? He didn't know how. Did you know that there are more than 9 gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament? Now, these are 9 ministering gifts that are laid out here, and they are predominant, but we don't shut the Holy Ghost off at 9 gifts. Do you remember when Peter spoke to a man that had come up in one of Philip's meetings and offered money? Peter said, your money perish with you. You remember this situation? Let's review here more what the man said. Some folks said he tried to buy the Holy Ghost. He didn't do any such thing. Sometimes, folks, we don't have to get where we read the words. Read the words that are printed on these pages, not what we think those words say or what somebody else said they said, but just simply read the words. It did not say, he came up and said, take my money, I want the Holy Ghost. That's not what he said. He offered money and said, give me this gift. Now, right there, most people just quit reading and said, well, he must have been wanting the gift of the Holy Ghost. And somebody preached it that way, and he didn't take time to read it. He just said, okay. That's not what he said. He said, give me this gift so that upon whomsoever I lay my hands, they shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now, can you see what he was wanting? He wanted to be able to lay his hands on people and they'd receive the Holy Ghost. But now, his desire was all right, but his motive was fouled up. The funny part of it is the man had already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, said he was a believer. But now, if you'll study about this man and find out a little bit something about him, you'll maybe have to dig into a little bit of history and find out a little something about this old boy. But he was a false prophet. He had set himself up even back when Jesus' reputation was being spread across the country, and he had called himself God. And said, you know, and he did things. He was a witch and a sorcerer. And he did things that looked like miracles. And he presented himself as such. And he said, that Jesus that's operating over there, you know, in this other part of the country, said, that's my son, and I sent him. Now, that's what he'd been telling folks. And you can see now what he's after. He sticks and tells some folks when he laid his hands off, he sent the Holy Ghost, too. He got in trouble over that. Well, he come around pretty straight, too. He said, my God, pray for me. I don't want that happening to me. But you see, he talked about a gift. Now, where do you suppose he found out there was a gift of laying on of hands for people to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, those two men came down there from Jerusalem to teach the people concerning the Holy Ghost. And after they got through teaching them the Word of God, man, they were receiving just like left. Well, evidently they had taught concerning that gift. Now, it operates on the same basis as any other gift of the Spirit. You see, the gifts of healings is not lay hands on people and they receive healing. There is such a thing as just following the Word and following Jesus, where the Bible said the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just simply doing it by faith and having God honor the faith of men. But there are gifts of healings that operate over in the special manifestations of the grace of God. Jesus told Ananias to go lay hands on Paul. And he went down there and did it, and Paul received the Holy Ghost. He said, Paul, I've been sent, even Jesus spoke to me today and said, told me to come down here and lay my hands on you, and that you receive your sight and the Holy Ghost. And he did. But now Jesus didn't. didn't say, I'm giving you the gift of laying on of hands of people to receive the Holy Ghost. He just told them to go down and lay his hands on. He went and did it in faith and honored God, and then God did just what he said. And now the Lord stopped me one afternoon in my hotel room and said, I'm adding this to your ministry. That you will go out and lay hands on believers, and they will receive my spirit. Now, I had had some people receive the Holy Spirit in my ministry. As I laid hands on them, not great numbers of them, just, you know, I'd lay hands on them and pray, praise God, just on the count I believe God. But after that night, in fact, 13 people came to the platform that night. I laid hands on all 13 of them, and 13 of them, 100% of them, instantly, when I laid hands on them, received the Holy Ghost, started talking in tongues. Just as I laid hands on them, bang, 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 bang. Well, you saw what happened last night. People received the Holy Spirit last night out in the congregation. As these things go into operation, well, I brought that up for you to make you realize that these things are put in the lives and the ministries of men in order for them to do their job among the people. Now, the evangelist will operate in the power gifts predominantly. You're going to find the gifts of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healings operating in your life. You're going to find in the life of the prophet, you're going to find the gifts of revelation operating in his life. You'll find the prophet will have revelation gifts operating in different forms. Now, there's times word of knowledge will come, and God will speak to me. I hear the word of the Lord within me, and you'll hear me say that. The word of the Lord has come unto me, said. And you see other prophets that said it all the way through the Old Testament. See, all these gifts operated in the Old Testament except speaking with tongues and the ministering of tongues and interpretation. All the rest of them operated. There were seven of them operating in the Old Covenant. And you'd hear a man say, the word of the Lord has come unto me, saying, prophesy to these people. Or the word of the Lord has come unto me, saying this, or saying that. Well, now, if God had spoken that out loud to the physical ear, there wasn't any use in the prophet repeating it. Everybody else had heard it. See? But God spoke his word inside this man in order for him to minister to the people. And as he ministers it unto the people, then God, you see, can do his work. Now, the reason God operates it this way is because it becomes an operation of faith that way. Now, let me show you something. If God all of a sudden broke through and everybody in here heard the physical voice of God, and all the pastor fell off of the ceiling and shook and rattled this building, it'd be hard for this building to take the physical voice of God. You see, the problem is that God would have to speak as a spirit and cross the boundary of the world of the spirit into the world of the natural. Now, he's done it at certain times, but it is not God's best. And I'll show you why it is. It's impossible to please God without faith. And if he spoke that way, if he said something like that and rattled this building, everybody in here would be startled into pleasing God. There wouldn't be an ounce of faith in the whole building. Now, Jesus, you see, after he is raised from the dead, why, he could have walked down the streets of Jerusalem and held his hands up like this and showed the hold in his hands and walked down the middle of the street and got his own men behind him and said, come on, boy, we're going to take this city, and walk right down the middle of the street showing his hands like that, showing the scars on his head where the thorns had been stuck in him. And some people say, well, why didn't he do that? Well, everybody would have come running and fell down at his feet, but there wouldn't have been an ounce of faith in the whole bunch of them. They'd been startled into belief. And some of them wouldn't have lasted 24 hours. Because without faith, you can't keep believing. And without the word of God, your faith will not continue to be active. Satan jumped right in the middle of them and said, wow, that's a phony. That doesn't even heal. And most of them believed it. Isn't that right? Now, if you're in a position of believing God to receive healing or something of that nature, and Jesus were to appear to you, I had the Lord tell me this one afternoon, questioning me on some of these things. He said, if I appeared to you In fact, I'll tell you what I was doing. I was pushing God. I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to see him with my mouth. I said, these other preachers have seen. Yeah, come I can. And then my motive was wrong. I wanted it in order to bolster my faith. I was being pounded with unbelief, and I didn't know how to reject it. I didn't know how to put it down, and I thought if I could just see an angel, or if I could see something like that, then that'd help me know all this is real. No, it didn't. In fact, what the Lord showed me was, he said, Satan's been trying to show you something now for days. And he said, if I had let him get and prove to you, all he'd have done is just dazzled a little bit and fed you some bunch of bunk that wasn't even real. And he said, it set your ministry back for 5 years. And I know men that that's happened to. And the Apostle Paul said, some fellow comes in the midst saying he's seen a vision that he had seen, or that wasn't of God. Because it's a vision doesn't qualify. It's going to have to be in line with the Word of God. The Word's not subject to the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are subject to the Word. Well, in this kind of position, the Lord told me, he said, now, I'll tell you for sure. If you will allow me to develop your faith without you physically seeing me or seeing these kind of phenomenal things, he said, if you'll allow me to develop your faith on the Word of God, he said, as long as develop it like that and be patient with me and give me the opportunity to develop you in the Word. He said, your faith will get so strong no disease can stand in front of you and no devil can stand your words, and men will hear and understand more of the kingdom of God as you produce it in the Spirit than they would if you were describing something you saw with your physical eye. And it has come to pass. And it's not stopped yet. He said, if you allow me to go at it that way, I'll develop your faith to a place and to a position that it would never get any other way. He said, now, if you demand it, I'll let you see something. But he said, if you do, it'll dull your faith, and it will never grow to the heights that it would otherwise. Not that I'm not going to get to see anything. But under the motive that I was operating under, you see, it would damage. And as I took the Word of God on that stand, then as I began to know the Word and develop my faith, by faith I began to see into something. By faith I began to. They were the result of my faith instead of them having to be the root of my faith. Do you see the difference? As a person begins to believe God, and his faith begins to work, then praise God, you will see some things, but instead of hurting you, it helps you. But I'm in a position now to where, if the Apostle Paul said, even an angel of God come in here preaching any other gospel than what I preach to you, let him be the curse. He ought to go to hell. The Bible says, try every spirit. Well, the position that I'm in now, Satan come walking in here and counterfeit himself as an angel of the Lord, which the Bible said Satan has turned into an angel of light. Came in here and rouse on battle you around. Well, they can speak in some weird old religious pseudo spiritual kind of a voice, which is what he uses to fool Christians into believing. Right after Brother Hagin got healed from paralysis and a bad heart, he's just a young boy, Baptist boy, didn't know much about the Word, but he's gotten into it enough to get healed. One afternoon, he heard it in the natural, heard it with his physical ear. It's appointed unto every man a time to die, which is not even scripture. That's a twist on the Word of God. It's not so, but most men believe that instead of the Bible. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die. It didn't say it's appointed unto every man a time to die. And but he didn't know that. See, and he just come up off the bed and flexing, and everybody around him told him, you better go back to bed, he's sick and die. You know, you can't be walking around, you're supposed to be dead. And then said, and today thou shalt surely die. And he said he started feeling bad and just started going downhill. And just, well, he didn't know what to do. And said, so he just, oh, just terrible. And he said he got to kind of started thinking over in the lines that he used to think in a few days ago when he's laying there on his back paralyzed. Well, I don't guess I'll see the morning sunrise. But he said down on the inside of him, they kept something rolling up in there. You know, said, with long life will I satisfy thee. Praise the Lord. And, he, you know, that's the word. Now, that's real scripture. That kept coming up down in here, see. And he went and grabbed his Bible, looked up, see what it was, read the word of God on it, and said, boy, turned him on the inside. And he came back at that thing and said, no, bless God, that wasn't God. Because here's what God said in his word, with long life will I satisfy thee. And he said, that's mine, praise God, that's mine. He said, I'll not.